It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Oh, very good, thanks. Atamaria. It's it's a beautiful morning, but as per last week, I'm still waiting for that downpour of rain. We got a bit on Saturday.
Got a small bit,
I was at the Onehunga Festival, and we joked that it always rains on the Onehunga Festival. So why don't we bring the festival forward by 3 weeks and end the drought earlier?
There we go. But that sounds like a good plan.
That might be the answer. But it was nice to get that drop of rain, but it's just been soaked into the soil and disappeared.
Exactly.
So,
we do need a little bit more.
Yeah, nothing on the horizon until maybe a few showers Friday. But I had a meeting with Watercare yesterday, and they're still reasonably confident. I think we're about 68 or 69% dams full. We're still pumping flat out from the Waikato. But the message again, and I'll repeat it this morning, hey, there's no mandatory restrictions, but everybody knows that it's dry. Everybody knows that, more water's being used, 560 million litres a day on a couple of occasions. Just please be careful with the water. And if you're careful now, any restrictions we might have to bring in later on will be less severe.
Are you foreseeing that we might have to bring in some restrictions, Phil?
There's always that possibility. Look, last year, the first 6 months of the year last year were the driest on record in Auckland's history. And, what we really know about all of this, Rachel, is that it's part and parcel of climate change. Mm-hmm. We were warned that we'd get more extremes. The dry areas become drier, the wet areas become wetter. We've seen that, south and the west of the South Island flooding, the north of the North Island in the most severe drought we've had for years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at some longer-term things as well, obviously, maybe increasing capacity of pump from the Waikato, and, it's taking forever to get the resource management consent for that through. We're 111 or something on the waiting list, so
right.
I'm saying to the government, you've got to change the Resource Management Act so these things can happen faster. Maybe more encouragement for people to have, collect the water off their roof for their garden. If you're worried about your garden, mm-hmm. and we all are, if we've got a garden there, great if you could put a small tank in your backyard, and if we can facilitate that in some way, that would be good. Working to prevent the leaks that, we lose a certain amount of water through leaks because the infrastructure gets older all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things we've got to look at in the medium to longer term. But in the short term, just be careful with the water and, thank God that we did prepare people 6 months ago to say, hey, be careful
then,
and we're pumping flat out. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a few topics this morning. We're going to try and get through some criticisms that the council has put towards the government's housing plans. Also talk a little bit about central roadworks going on and the new Uber e-bikes that people might have seen popping up. Let's start with this article that Phil Pennington put out through RNZ last week, and it's looking at some criticism that the Auckland Council has put towards the government's housing plans, specifically looking at the issue of prefabricated housing developments and drawing some comparisons with the UK. What are the council's particular concerns here, Phil?
Well, I'm all in favour of prefabrication for three reasons, basically. When you prefabricate your walls, you can do it on site. You can do it theoretically 24 hours a day through all weather conditions, and you can get better quality assurance. And so, the council's not opposed to prefab. What we want to make sure is that the Building Code and the Building Act is upgraded sufficiently so that we can have that assurance.
Mm-hmm.
There's much less wastage when you've got prefabrication too. I think they said at the Fletcher's plant that I attended the opening of last year, they put all their offcuts into an ordinary plastic litter bag instead of a couple of skips, which is what would happen
right.
on a building site. But We want to make sure at the same time, because we're responsible for the outcome, we need to make sure that there is adequate quality assurance mechanisms in place. And we're also pressing the government on liability. At the moment, council has all the liability when something goes wrong, like leaky homes,
mm-hmm.
because you try and find the developer, you try to find the designer and the builder. When something goes wrong, they've all gone into liquidation. The only body left standing is the Auckland Council, and therefore the cost of remedying the problem comes onto Auckland Council, which seems bloody unfair because the key parties responsible for it going wrong are not there to pick up the tab. So we're talking about a compulsory insurance scheme, we're talking about proportionate liability and stuff like that, which is what we want to have so we can be more flexible about innovative building methods. You know, if you're going to get a builder, and make sure that there's something behind that builder, that he's not going to do a crap job and then disappear off the scene and leave it to the ratepayers to pick up the bill.
So is that something that you're specifically anticipating could be an issue with this, or is it broadly
It's more general, really, and, you know, we've also put submissions in on the Urban Development Bill, which, you know, fast-tracks, streamlines complex urban developments, and we're saying, look, there is a place for that, but that will only work if what central government does has the confidence of local government, that it doesn't ride roughshod over the ordinary member of the community that mm-hmm. doesn't get a say. Yet, look, hurry the process up by all means, but don't take away the voice of the person that potentially objects to a development because it's damaging to their interests. We've got to protect the local communities. And if it's done collaboratively, we can do it well. But I had the experience, you know, under the former government where the then minister wanted to build on the Point England Reserve. I was there for the Wheatbix Triathlon the other day, and he was just going to build houses all over it. Well, I'm sorry, Minister, that's not what we want. We want to preserve our reserves, and we need to have some assurance that the way in which the government operates under the streamlined process adequately accounts for what local mm-hmm. feeling is and is aligned with the broader, you know, the Auckland plan and the unitary plan for Auckland, and doesn't ride roughshod over it and do things that are to the long-term detriment of the community. So it's qualified support for what the government is doing there, but with the need for some legislative assurance, not just depending on whether you think that the minister of the day is going to be a good person and listen to what you're saying.
Well, speaking of things that I'm sure the public has quite strong opinions about, let's talk a little bit about central roadworks in Auckland, because there are a lot of them, and we have touched on this before with you, but I thought it might be good to get a bit of an update about what's happening there and how it's affecting public transport as well, because that's a major thing, getting in and out of the city. How is it looking at the moment? How is buses and trains, how are they all flowing?
Look, there's a hell of a lot happening. 260 roadworks underway in Auckland around November. We were trying to get as much done over the Christmas period when the traffic was lighter. We're trying to get as much done as possible before the year 2021, when we've got America's Cup and APEC and all of those things. You know, it's the old debate about the orange cone. Is the orange cone simply a symbol of inconvenience, disruption, and frustration, or actually is it there symbolising, for God, you know, at last the government is getting on, or the council is getting on and doing the infrastructure that should have been built years ago? What I want to say, if you look actually on the Herald, you probably have to look at the hard copy. I don't know whether it's online. But we've got a full-page ad there about Tamaki Drive. Now, I launched that with the Minister of Transport, just over 8 days ago, where we're building a new cycle and walkway along Tamaki Drive between Key Street and Napipi. What the full-page ad sets out, a map of what's happening. It sets out a picture of what it's going to look like. This is why we're doing it. It sets out suggestions about how you cope with it. It says how we're managing the traffic so that, you know, in the morning there'll still be two lanes open into the city and one lane out of the city. In the afternoon that will reverse, two lanes out of the city and one lane into the city. It talks about the fact we're raising Tamaki Drive by half a metre in places to stop the flooding that's getting worse with climate change.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the new pedestrian bridge that we're building there. And it gives a full explanation to the people in the east of the city coming into town what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how it might affect them.
Ultimately, these do sound like, you know, good changes and things that we have needed for a long time in Auckland, but there has been quite a bit of criticism about the timing of all of these roadworks happening, I guess, at once, and I think that's something that people seem to be quite frustrated by. Do you think that could have perhaps been managed or timed differently?
Yeah, if we'd started the process 10 years earlier when it was needed, we wouldn't be doing it all at once now. The fact is we didn't. The only time better than yesterday to have done it is today. And, you know, I don't think people want us to hold up, for example, the City Rail Link project because it will cause some traffic disruption at the intersection of Wellesley and Albert Street. Yes, of course it will cause disruption. Of course it's annoying. I'm one of those people that it will annoy because I use that route. But the fact of the matter is we need this infrastructure now. We are trying to plan and work with different groups in the community, talking to, you know, those that will be affected by it. We've got people out on the last example I just used. We'll have ambassadors out on the roadway when the road is closed on the 1st of March, saying this is where the bus stops are, these are better routes for travelling into town. But there's also a message there that actually, if you are still driving right into the centre of town, sometimes you don't have any choice, and I understand that, but there are options, and you might like to consider some of the options. And the ad in the paper this morning, you know, we've got a fantastic bus route now along Tamaki Drive, a bus every 10 minutes from 7 in the morning till 7 at night, or you can catch the train. And look, you might not have done that because your habit has been driving in, but if you
maybe
see that the roads are getting congested...
Time for a new habit.
Yeah. How about giving the other system a go? Yeah. And if it works for you, that's great, because that's one less car causing congestion on the roads.
Very, very briefly, because we do have to wrap up, I just wanted to get your thought on perhaps one of the methods of transport people could be using now to get into town, which is these new Uber e-bikes that we've seen pop up in about the last week and a half, really. What is the council's thought on that? Are you happy with the safety precautions that they've put in place? Have they put any in place? I know that's been an ongoing debate with e-scooters.
I'm really happy with it. I launched the e-bikes a week ago. We're the first city in the Asia Pacific region to have the hire e-bikes that, you know, you pick up, you pay. It's pretty much the same as the e-scooters, and you use it for however long, and then leave it where you leave it. There's about 655 of them coming in. They're much, in my view, I'm a bit prejudiced on this, and some of the scooter riders will disagree with me, but I think they're much safer than scooters. They've got bigger wheels, better suspension. They're easy to ride. They're great to ride. They take the stress out of going up hills. And they stand out. You've got a helmet attached to the bike, so you've got some protection there. The new cycleways that I've just been talking about on our last topic, you know, that makes it even better. You can cycle on the road, but if you've got a cycleway, it's much safer. And we are trying to join up all of these cycleways. Soon we'll have the Harbour Bridge. We'll have the path up to Albany, across to Takapuna. We've got the path already out to Westgate now that you can ride all the way out separate from the traffic. All of those things are really good, and what we want to see is more people who are able to hop on a bike. It's fun, it's a good experience, and it's less carbon emissions, less traffic congestion. Why wouldn't you be happy with it?
Well, that does sound positive. I'll be very keen to see how people use them and how it goes as well. I think it's good to have good e-bikes around the city. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Phil. We really appreciate it every week.
Always a pleasure.
We'll talk to you again
Rachel.
Next Tuesday. Goodbye.
Talk next Tuesday. Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.